price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
What's going on, everybody? What's happening? What's happening? It's Monday night. We are live as live can be right here on a Monday night. I sit down here in the basement. I got my candles lit right now tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I have a hickory hearth scented soy candle. That's what's burning down here. It smells kind of like a, I don't know, it's not like a mandel or anything like that, but it's definitely got like a sandalwood hint of vanilla sort of thing going on. It's beautiful. I've got some dimly lit lights happening. My little incense burner is going right now. And I tell you what, I just poured myself a cocktail because it's going to be a great conversation tonight. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Great to have you here. Hope you guys are all having a great start to your week here on a Monday. To me, Monday also these days starts my week. Mondays used to be my day off. Not anymore. Now Mondays are, I'm in the city, hanging out in the big city of New York, working like a champion. That's my day. That's right. Hickory candle there, Chef Nick. I see you. I hear you. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. Chef Nick texted me about the Steelers. He's a damn Patriots fan. I hate him, but I love him at the same time. It's a love-hate thing. I tell you, I am. I'm reeling. I'm reeling, you guys. Everyone knows how big of a Steelers fan I am. And I tell you what, honest to God, this game I watched yesterday, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on football because it's not a football show. However, I could do one. Trust me. All I do is spend my days listening to football talk. Heartbroken. I've walked around all day today. I just texted Chef Nick this. Honestly, I felt like I found out a girlfriend was cheating on me. So I felt like all day long I felt like this. You have a team that goes 13-3, is ass kicking one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL, to fall to Blake Bortles, America's quarterback on America's team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not only that, the first time they played the Jaguars, Blake Bortles completed 4 passes. In this game, he completed 14 passes. I don't know. The good thing about football, such as I told my daughters, is that the good news is we get a new season every year. So having another time, another round of this next year, we'll see. But as for now, I'm going to go on record as saying it, and I'm a Steelers fan, say this, go Pats. I hate the Jaguars. Hate them. Hate them. Ugh. Go Pats. Go Pats. Yes. And every time I say that, I feel like little burn marks appear on my back or something. But it's the truth. That's how I feel. It'll be fun to have that conversation with our guest tonight. Jamie Sire from Iron Chef Showdown is going to be on the show. She's also spent some time with ESPN anchoring SportsCenter. So it should be fun to talk a little sports with her. As well as how does one go from sports to food? She does food blogging and, of course, works on Iron Chef. So that should be a pretty fun conversation. I'm looking forward to that. I love talking that kind of stuff, man. It's all the fun things in the world. Sports, food. Jesus, what's next? We got to have a beer guy on with her, too. That way we can cover all of the bases, at least in my book. Big shout-out to my folks on the West Coast listening. I see you over there. I know you're checking in, and I appreciate that. I hope everything's going well for you. I know over there the sun's probably still up, right? Or is it no? Does it go down? I don't know. The world changes. I learned about oceanic weather this weekend, which is pretty cool. It's an island that here in near where I live that has oceanic weather, which means it's much warmer there, even in the wintertime. Kind of crazy. The world's a weird place. I don't know. Anyway, it should be a fun show tonight. Looking forward to it, man. But before we get to our guest and get into all that stuff, there's something I want to address. And I never talk politics on this show because I don't care about politics. I honestly don't care. I think they're all crooked. I don't think anything is as easy as are you one way or are you another, be it, you know, liberal or conservative. I just don't think it's quite that simple. But one of the big things that happened news-wise from the food world this weekend was from the Washingtonian, is that how you say it? It's a newspaper in Washington, D.C. And I thought it was great because they wrote this article, all about how Trump's hotels are getting Yelp bombed after his shithole remark. Now, listen, before Trump was elected, I said, listen, if he does get elected, the one thing I'll guarantee is it'll be entertaining. Well, we've gotten past entertaining to the point now where it's just a little bit scary. And that's it. I'm not a politics guy. I don't ever want to be a politics guy, but it's getting a little bit scary. But this is the thing, man. Honestly, it's when you're going to – what am I trying to say here? I hate Yelp. I think Yelp is ridiculous. If anybody can just go on Yelp and write some shit about you, it's stupid. You know, I get if we all have bad experiences. I understand all that. But you're going to go on to Yelp, right? You're going to write a review to one of Trump's hotels, right? Write a terrible review. Here's the issue I have. This isn't going to hurt Trump at all. He doesn't give a shit. Do you think he cares about your Yelp review? Do you think anybody cares? I'm going to tell you who does care. The people who work there. The dishwasher. The line cooks. The people who you're taking business away from by saying that sort of stuff. But no. Go ahead and write and read one from Blake P. from Ferdinand Beach, Florida. Hashtag shithole. If you like your hotels like Trump likes his showers, you'll love this golden hotel. Witty, fella, witty. Listen, this is the thing. None of this hurts anybody, right? Well, at least that you think it does. Who this hurts are the people who run the place. Like, do you think that the guy who's washing dishes in the back of this hotel knows what Trump said or cares what Trump's? No. You think the line cooks care? No. Do you think it? I just don't understand. What do you think is going to happen? Here you go. Here's another one from our friend Brad B. from Bend, Oregon. This was on January 11th, 2018. One star. Stunk. From the time I walked into the room until the moment I checked out, the place smelled of feces. I don't know what country they think this is, but in America, we have certain standards. This place is a shithole. Again, like... This isn't hurting anybody but the people who work there. The people who are there, the people who are just trying to put food on the plates for their family, trying to you know, buy shoes for their kids to go to school. This isn't hurting Trump at all. This will make zero bit of difference in his life. Zero bit of difference. But this is what I don't get. Are people really that dumb? Do they think it matters? Do they think that them saying this is going to actually get to Trump and he's going to say, well, oh my God, people are writing bad reviews about my hotel. I need to change something. No, he's not running that hotel. MD from Duluth, Georgia, one-star review. It's a shithole. The owner is a racist, senile old man. Don't waste your money. Hashtag shithole. Honestly, you look at stuff like this, and I just feel bad for these people. I do. I really do feel bad. I am not saying that coming on here and I support Donald Trump, but I don't support any of it. I don't. Not at all. I don't support one person, another person. What I do support is people who work in this industry. That's what I support. That's what I care about. And when you do that, you're taking away money from those people. That's who the people you're going to hurt. Now, I think for the most part, people will realize this when they read these reviews and realize that people are just trying to make a political statement. And for the most part, I think Yelp said they're going to take them down so long as it's, you know, if it's a story from the news, they'll take it down or something like that, which is probably the one nice thing that Yelp's ever done. But there is nothing good that comes out of this for anybody. I mean, you may be trying to make a political statement. You can be trying to come on here and make your Yelp review, and I'm going to come up with a witty remark and give it a one-star review. The only person that you're hurting by doing that are people who work in the industry. You're hurting the housekeepers. You're hurting the front desk people. You're hurting the line cooks, the dishwashers, the people who are employed there, who get paid, the people who are there just as a job. They don't care about any political affiliation. They don't care what he does. I'm willing to bet that 99% of them have never even seen the man. But yet you think it's okay to write a review like that and affect those people. Vika from Washington, D.C., one-star review. Shithole. Way too many racist shitholes from a shithole racist places. It's almost like this place is owned by a racist or named after the world's number one racist Nazi. But I hear you can get incredible service, quote, if you bring your own Russian hookers to give you the golden treatment. It's a tremendous shithole. Again, I look at someone saying this, and I mean, it's not even witty. Like, at least make it funny. That's not even funny, man. Like, come up with something good. That's all I'm looking at. Do you think that posting a review on something stupid like Yelp can affect someone like him of his stature and what he does? And again, I don't care. I'm not a Trump guy. I'm not a political guy. I don't give a fuck about any of that. I don't care. What I do care is that when you do things like this, you're affecting the people who work the front desk, the dishwashers, the line cooks. Those are the people you're affecting. Think about it, man. Do you think any of these people have ever met them? No, they haven't. I don't know. We'll ask Jamie what she thinks, too. Hopefully she can answer it. I don't know. It just drives me. It drives me crazy. I hate Yelp. I hate everything it does. It doesn't do anything good for anybody in our business. It's garbage. Anyway, and by the way, this segment is brought to you by Yelp. Make sure you check out Yelp.com. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Anyway, guys, we got a fun conversation. I'm looking forward to hanging out with Jamie and talking to her about stuff. Maybe she can talk me off the ledge here from football. I hope so. Because I'm a mess from it. I don't even know what to do. I'm a disaster from it. Anyway, you guys, Plum Love Foods Live coming at you right here. I appreciate you checking us out. I'm going to play a tune, get myself a beverage, and we'll be right back live right here with our friend Jamie Sire. Stay right there. Thank you. favorite tunes right there, man. Rest in peace, Chris Cornell. Seasons. What a great song, man. Off a single soundtrack. What am I doing? Like alternative rock radio now? What's wrong with me? What the hell? I'm sorry. That's a great tune, though. I wanted to hear it because it's such a great song, man. Anyway, tonight's guest. I'll tell you, hey, before we get to her, I would just, if you haven't done so yet, I always say at the end of the show, I want to say it in the front here. If you get 2 seconds, go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. It costs you nothing. It brings the show to you if you don't hear it live. You can get it to your phone Tuesdays, right after the show airs on Monday night. You can get it sent to your phone for free. That's what we do. So make sure you check it out. And of course, if you haven't done so yet, Restaurant Road Trip on Facebook, make sure you check it out too. We're just a Mohegan Sun. What a great episode that was over at Todd's English is Tuscany. And apparently there's a pool there. Well, I thought it was a pool. They called security on. It was scary, but it's an awesome episode. I highly recommend you check that out. One of the funnest things I get to do is judge some food competitions. I've talked about them before. We've done them live here on the program. We'll probably do some more of those coming forward here as we get the festival season. But there's an event up here. I've spoke about it before called 86. And at this event is where I met our guest on the show tonight. You know, you meet certain people, you hang out with certain people in certain settings, and you're just like, you know what? That person's cool. And that's kind of what happened when I was hanging out with Jamie. I sat beside her for about an hour. At least it felt like an hour. Maybe it was longer. I don't know. And a couple dishes of food came out. And one of the things I remember specifically hanging out with Jamie when some of the dishes came out was I just looked at her. She looked at me, and we were like, oh, boy. But she's super cool, and we're happy to have her on here tonight. She is also on Iron Chef Showdown. You got to check that show out. And worked at ESPN as well. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please welcome my guest at this time, Ms. Jamie Sire. Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am good. Now, see, this is now we pretend like I haven't talked to you. Like I didn't talk to you in a green room while the song was on.
I know. It's we're great actors and actresses here. So
yeah. Hell yeah. Well, the funny part was is I went in the room and I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And she was like, "Oh shit, hi. What?" And I was like, "No one can hear us. We're good." And she was like, "Oh fuck, good."
I'm like, "Do I need to be on right now?" No.
Okay. Right. No, you didn't have to be on. And you don't have to be on right now on this show anyway. This show is basically us just hanging out, talking, and, you know,
that's
talking
cool.
to a lot of
like
cooks
that.
And culinarians. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. And, you know, I was talking in the beginning of the show here just about how everyone knows on this program I'm a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Like, I'm the guy who goes to training camp. I'm friends with Greta Rooney. Yesterday was a
dropping.
Tough day, man.
It's fine. No, I'm
Let
sorry.
Let me pick that
that's,
up. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's always tough. I mean, I luckily didn't grow up. I grew up in Montana, so I never had like a true NFL team. So I've never really had to like live and die by wins and losses, especially this time of year. So I always feel for those who do, and you know, clearly had to report on it for a number of years during my sports career. So. My heart goes out to you. I'm sorry. There's always next year, right?
America's quarterback, Blake Bortles, on America's team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ugh.
I feel like Tom Brady just watched this weekend and was just like, all right, well, that just got a little bit easier.
I know. Man. They put up 42 points and still lost the game to Blake Bortles. Ugh.
That was a crazy game. I'm sorry.
I'm going to stop. And you didn't do a good job of talking me off the ledge. I have a cup of bleach poured right here. I'm about to drink it.
I'm sorry. I'm not very good at that.
Listen, I wanted to apologize to you, too. The one time, last time we were hanging out and doing that event, I had a fever of 102. And I was nowhere near
what?
As fun as I usually am. I was sick as a dog.
You were the one that got me sick. You got me sick.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Remember when I was like, here, share this beer with me.
here. You can just borrow my fork and my napkin, too.
Iron Chef Showdown. I guess we'll start backwards, man. I was checking you out last weekend. Last week, I was watching the show. It's fun to see that show back, and it's an iconic show with Food Network. I remember being in culinary school and watching Bobby Flay and Morimoto go at it, and that's when Bobby Flay stood up on the cutting board and everybody went ape shit.
you
come from
the
OG, whole...
like, reality cooking show, right? Like, that was, like, the first one, or at least the first one that I remember. So yeah,
it was awesome. Cool. I remember that. It was awesome. And we all cheered when it all went down. But, you know, here it is, a reboot of the program, and you're there. Tell us about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came about like really quickly. I mean, we'll probably get there at some point. I'm jumping ahead, but I had been recently laid off from ESPN and kind of have been, you know, wanting to make this jump for a little while into this food space. I have a food blog and I'm just, you know, really like passionate about it and that kind of thing. And so I'd already been kind of, you know, working on different things, had done some one-offs on, you know, judging on different shows that hadn't actually aired yet. And this opportunity came about and they basically were like, hey, we're interested. Would you be able to be in New York for an interview/audition like on Thursday, which was in 2 days? So I was like, sure. I mean, I'm not working. I don't have anything to do. So my schedule is pretty free. I drove down and I had a real life, like in the Food Network kitchen, like they kind of had set up like a mock like Iron Chef battle round between two of their, chefs that work there in the test kitchen, and had to basically kind of pretend, you know, like I was on Iron Chef, but not. So it was an interesting audition. I didn't think, I walked out of it not thinking I got it. You're always like really hard on yourself, of course. I was like, nah, I didn't get it. I don't, like, it wasn't my best. Like, I could have done better. I don't know who else they auditioned or whatnot, but a week later I got the call. And then basically a week after that, I was flying to LA. So it was crazy, just, you know, like the amount of time from when I first heard about it to when I actually was flying there and taping. But I mean, overall, the experience was amazing. Like you said, it's such an iconic show. And, you know, there were definitely moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in Kitchen Stadium and, you know, talking to these chefs. It was really cool. And just to see how it all works and how long it takes to shoot one episode. And it was just interesting because most of my career in TV has just been live. You know, it's like, you do it once you're done, that's it. And, you know, that's it. You know, it's like, there's no like pre-production or post-production or, oh, we need to do that voiceover again and whatnot. So it was interesting to see kind of that side as well. But more than anything, it was just fun. Like, everybody that I worked with was awesome. And yeah, I had a blast. So hopefully that comes across on TV.
It's smaller than it looks like on TV too. I think that's one of the funniest things when you go to these sets and you
see
it.
Yeah, it looks massive. I remember when I used to watch it, you know, back in the day, like I felt like Elton was like up on this, like this, I don't know, like, but he was like peering over everyone. He was like super high up and he's like just basically on like a little riser. Like, it's not like, he's like right there. Like, he's like right in front of me, like when I'm talking to him. So it's not like, it seemed like he was, I don't know, the way it looks on TV, it looks a lot different. Like, he's just like this, you know, all overseeing person, perched way up high, and that's really not the case. But yeah, it's definitely smaller than it looks on TV, but it's still crazy the amount of stuff that's going on at one time and how hot it gets in there. It's like crazy warm. Not to mention LA was having like a crazy heat wave at the time, so the first couple of days of filming, the AC actually kind of it didn't totally break, but it was not functioning correctly. And we were all like sweaty, like so gross, like disgusting.
Right.
And like, I'm like stuffing stuff like in my dress, like armpits. So like, I'm not like sweating through my dress. Yeah.
That's,
I felt so bad. At one point, Alex Bornishelli, like, she came up to serve her first dish to the judges, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sweaty, this is gross. And I'm like, it's okay, we're all sweaty. It's like, not but I felt bad for her because like it was hot, and then she's also like slaving over hot stoves. So it's definitely hot in the kitchen for sure.
Well, it's fun because a good friend of mine and you know, he's a Food Network, Ray Bo McMillan, he was on this program, I guess probably 2 years ago at this point now, and we were talking all about the show. And at one point I was trying to do Iron Chef. I really wanted to do the old Iron Chef America. And I would fall their asses. I wanted to do it, and Bo was talking about who are you?
Oh, no, you don't want me. No.
no.
No, don't. That would be too much pressure. I would be so scared.
I have some guys. I do have some guys that work with me, so I have people. It's okay. I have people.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But you know, it's one of those things that's funny with Food Network, and I know that you're not going to talk about it. But Bo was telling us, you know, much like when you do Cutthroat Kitchen, they call you and they give you a couple days notice and say, hey, make sure you know how to make these three things. With Iron Chef, they tell you, you know, here's going to be it could be one of these three or four type ingredients. And it's what makes it hard, mm-hmm. I think, because you have to be prepared to do something with all those ingredients. And I don't think that's much of a secret to the culinary population. But what's some of the strangest ingredients you saw while you guys were recording?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, because it's interesting, right? Because like on top of whatever the chefs may or may not know coming into it, you know, they have to give the culinary producers like a list of things that they want in their pantry. And so some of them approach it, I was told, like in a way where like it's the same no matter what the ingredient is. And others are like, well, if it's this, then I want this and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I remember one chef has like some crazy like fermented something or other, like I don't know, it was like some Japanese ingredient or something, but it was the cool thing to me was whatever that, like, you know, if it was a crazy ingredient of some sort, much like we have, you know, in sports and at ESPN and everything, you have like this team of researchers that are like giving you all like the notes and prep for any particular game or whatnot, like they would give you like these packets of like, okay, here's the history of this ingredient and this chef asked for this to be in their pantry and this is what it is. And like, so we had like basically research packets going into each battle, yeah. Which I thought was really cool. Cause like, I love that kind of stuff. I love like reading up on things and knowing, you know, exactly what it is and just, you know, feeling prepared going into something like that. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like ESPN. Like we get a research packet before, you know, the playoffs or before the Super Bowl. And it was like pages and pages of like stats and all that stuff. And it's kind of the same thing for Iron Chef. It's just with food and ingredients and that kind of thing.
Well, it's funny because a show like this has almost turned, you know, like food into a sport as well. You know, Iron Chef, I think, was probably the first real, you know, culinary competition sort of thing that kind of spurred all of them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people ask me a lot like, oh, you know, how was it, you know, kind of transitioning from the sports world to food? And for me, like that show was really the perfect way for me to do it, because the way I kind of treated it was like, hey, I'm doing like sidelines for a football game. So I'm doing sidelines for this, you know, this
totally
food battle basically. And it kind of was that. It's like, you know, Elton's doing play by play and I need to like quickly get in and get out to like ask questions, like get some information, but not totally be in their way. And like quickly give information to Elton and like, you know, kind of tie it up in these like concise little reports. So yeah, I don't know. It was kind of cool, like in that way that it was kind of a little bit of a seamless transition for me. But yeah, I don't know. It was kind of cool because it is, like you said, it's a competition and they're so competitive and it's very much like a sporting event for sure.
Well, it's funny because I come from the food world. All I've ever done, I've got 20 years of working in the business, and you know, I never realized how competitive. I mean, chefs are douchebags and hate each other for the first 5 minutes they meet, and then they're great friends after that. That's what chefs are.
Is that right?
you walk into a room full of chefs, everybody hates each other. Until about 20 minutes in, then we're all hugging and loving each other. That's what we do. That's just how it goes.
And taking shots
And it's funny because you don't think of them as being super competitive, but I mean, we really are. I'm competitive as hell. I think that's the drive that makes you that makes a chef better is the fact that we are competitive. So I'm sure you've seen some pretty competitive guys coming into that kitchen. Who do you think has more of a competition brain, like mindset? Is it people coming in and challenging, or is it the actual Iron Chef guys themselves?
I mean, I think the Iron Chef, because I think they have a lot more to lose, right? Like the challengers come in, no one expects them to win. And if they do, it's great and, you know, good for them and that whole thing. With the Iron Chefs, you know, if they lose, then it's like a huge deal, right? And I will say, like, I would say probably, I mean, definitely having Bobby Flay in the kitchen was, there's just like a crazy different energy when he's in there. Like it's definitely ramped up a notch. Like he's very, very competitive and he's so good at it. You know, like you, like I have friends that watch, you know, Beat Bobby Flay. They're like, does he ever lose? I'm like, yeah, he does. You just have to, you know, have to watch a few in a row. But it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy to see him and act, cause I've judged twice on Beat Bobby Flay as well. And, to just watch, I mean, he really doesn't know what their dish is before and he doesn't want to know. Like, and the fact that like these people will come in and be like, this is my signature dish. I make this all the time. This is it. And then he goes out and does it better and didn't even like sometimes like has never even made it before. So that's like, I think that takes a lot, you know, not only just like competitiveness, but then, you know, just skill and also just knowledge of like ingredients and flavors and that kind of thing. So it was crazy to watch him because I'd seen him do Beat Bobby Flay, obviously, but then to see him in Kitchen Stadium, it definitely like ramped up a notch for sure.
Man, I tell you, so I got asked to do Beat Bobby Flay 3 times and each time.
Really? And you didn't do it?
Well, here's why they didn't take me because they asked me every time what my dish would be. And I say, it'll be beef short ribs. And they're like, Oh no. Cause a beef short rib is a very tough piece of meat. You're going to cook it in 45 minutes. You got to pressure cook it. And I got a whole method, but I guess that they think that's too, I don't know. The second I say what a dish is 3 times, they're like, I think so.
No.
I think so.
Interesting.
But you know, that's the way it goes. We'll see. I mean, I don't really know. The tough part about a show like that is you don't get paid for it either. Like there's nothing, I mean, what you can
right.
get.
Right. It's more about 45 like, bucks. Yeah. It's more about like just, you know, getting your name out there and having the bragging rights if it actually happens that you beat him. So yeah, that's tough.
Like living in Montana. So they're like, I'm just trying to think about geographically, like, is there a football team at all?
Not professionally, no.
Like, where do you lean to? Like Kansas City? Am I totally off base?
No, that's a little far, I think. I think at least I'm like, you need to look at a map. Growing up, I feel like people either picked like who was good at the time and like somewhat close by, or like whoever their parents rooted for. So I feel like growing up, I remember there being like a lot of Broncos fans, like that was big.
Okay.
I'm sure now there's probably a lot of Seahawks fans, so that's not too far. Growing up, I remember there were a ton of 49ers fans, Vikings and Packers. Like those are the ones I remember most, I would say. And those are probably like the closest, like geographically.
I mean, like, what sport do you follow in Montana? Are you like, we're PBR rodeo fans. Like, what do you? I'm just confused.
I actually went to the PBR in New York like last weekend. It was actually super fun.
Oh my god, that's too funny.
Yeah. No, I mean,
wow.
Obviously, like high school football is really big. I mean, people latch on to sport, you know, different teams, definitely football and basketball and that kind of thing.
Right.
We had like the rookie ball affiliate. Well, when I was growing up, it was for the Dodgers. And then later, I think when I was in high school, it switched to the White Sox. And I think that's what it still is. But I don't like really think that people were like, yeah, now I'm a Dodgers fan because we have their rookie ball affiliate team, you know, their short season team. Because by the time those guys like actually maybe made it to the bigs, there's little chance they were actually still playing for that organization. So, but, I don't know. I think you kind of just picked one. It's like, if you like sports, you picked one, and if not, then you kind of went on with your life in a different capacity.
So how does a girl from Montana end up, you know, at ESPN? Like, how does that story go? You know, what's the cliff note?
How much time do you have? No, I'm kidding. All my friends make fun of me because I tell like the longest stories of all time. They call them yarns. My boyfriend's like looking at me like, yeah, he does.
Dude, no, listen, my wife, we've been married. My wife and I have been married since 2003. And she doesn't even laugh at my jokes anymore. She's like, yeah, I heard that one in 2006. Same joke, same one. So it doesn't get any easier.
I'll try to give you Yeah, I'll try to give you the cliff notes. But yeah, basically, like I went to Washington State for college. So go Cougs. So that was like my football team. Was, like,
okay.
College Cougars. Yeah. So anyway,
witty name.
So I went there. My what?
Witty name, the Cougars.
Yeah, exactly. my first job out of college was actually in my hometown in Great Falls, Montana. So I was covering, you know, some rodeos and high school football and random sporting events at that time. Yeah, so it was local TV. I was living, you know, I lived at home because I was making $18,500 per year. That was my salary.
Yeah.
And my sister was a lifeguard that summer. She was making more money as a lifeguard.
Which is, look, that's so funny. And I just want to stop you for a second. I want to stop you for a second because, listen, everybody thinks, oh, you're on television. You're doing well, right? Listen.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, and that's and be, just because you're on television too, that's what the TV station thinks too. They're like, oh, well, you're on TV, so we don't need to pay you all that much. I mean, you're putting you on television.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So it's crazy. My sister was getting paid to like get a tan, and I was like getting up at 4 in the morning and like I was working in TV though. So
right.
Luckily that only lasted a year, and then I actually got my second job was in San Diego.
Amazing.
That was a nice little jump. So I was there for 4 years. Still local news, covering. The Chargers and Padres, and then a lot of high school football there actually as well too. It's really big down in Southern California. Well, in California in general, but
yeah.
And then I moved up to San Francisco and was at a regional sports network. At the time it was CSN Bay Area. I think now it's NBC Sports Bay Area, but same group of people. That was great because I covered the Giants for 3 years during the 5 years that I was there, and they won the World Series twice during that span. So
wow,
that was really
awesome.
Fun. That was really cool. Cause my first year on that beat, was 2010 when they won. And so like the city was just like going nuts. It was so much fun. I had a blast. It was actually really hard to leave San Francisco. I was totally in love with the city and my job and everything, but
great city.
Yeah. I got a ESPN, you know, came calling and flew out to Bristol for an audition. It was like a full day of like interviews and like an on-camera audition. And they offered me a job and I almost didn't take it actually.
Did you really?
Just for that reason, because I love my job. I love my apartment. I love my life there at my friends. And I knew it was going to be a lot different moving to Connecticut and, you know, working crazy hours again. And I'm kind of being at the bottom again and kind of working my way back up. But at the end of the day,
right.
it was an opportunity that
it's
I needed.
National.
I needed to at least, yeah, it's national. It's ESPN. I mean, it's the mothership, you know, it's like what most people in that business aspire to get to at some point. So I took the job and honestly, I'm so glad I did. Like, I don't regret it for a minute. Even though, you know, it didn't end on my terms, but it was just a really great place to work. It was challenging, like every single day. Like if you didn't bring it, like you're just getting left in the dust. Like it was that, but everyone's nice. I mean, everyone's like very nice, but it's also, they're also really good at what they do. So you just had to bring it like every day. And I think it really made me a lot better. It made me a lot more comfortable just being myself on camera. Whereas I think before I was like, playing the role of like a news reporter or a sports reporter, like
right.
This is how you're supposed to talk on TV instead of just talking like I talk in real life. And I think once that like switch went off, it was a lot, you know, I was able to grow a lot more and just kind of proceed and progress there at ESPN. So I think it all, you know, everything works out, everything happens for a reason. So I'm really like thankful for my time there, even though they're like, actually, we don't need you anymore, so we're gonna let you go. But at least they said that to about 100 people that day. So I guess I didn't feel like it was super personal. It was just
and how long were you there?
Unfortunately, I was there a little over 4 years. So,
wow, 4 years.
I actually just signed a 3-year contract at the time, and I just bought a house about 6 months before I laid off. So I think that was the only thing I was a little bitter about was the house. I was like, I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to own some property and,
yeah,
do the house buying thing. And then I was like, oh man, shit. That sucks. So that whole, it was a learning experience. We'll just call it that as far as the house buying and selling it a year later. But yeah, I mean, it was 4 great years, and now hopefully I'm moving on to bigger and better things. So we'll see.
Well, how far between, you know, when sports, you know, working at ESPN and Food Network called, how big of a time gap was that?
It wasn't actually that long. So I got laid off April 26th, and then I think my audition for Iron Chef was in mid-June, and then we were shooting the first season of Iron Chef Showdown. Basically, we started, I think, the day after 4th of July. So
yeah.
It actually happened pretty quick. Like, luckily, like I said, I'd kind of been trying to make those connects for the last couple of years. So by the time I got laid off, I'd already taped an episode of Beat Bobby Slay. I had taped an episode of Food Network Star. And then, so like, I was already known a little bit in that world, even though those episodes hadn't aired. And then after I got laid off, I also did another episode of Beat Bobby Slay that it will air Super Bowl week, actually. So it still hasn't aired yet.
Oh, cool.
I shot that in May. So it's crazy. It's like, we shot that, yeah, like end of May, and it still hasn't aired yet because it was specifically like kind of like a sports themed episode to lead into the Super Bowl. So so that'll air in a couple weeks. But luckily it didn't take a ton of time, but as you know, I mean, who knows like what comes next. Like, I would love to do
right.
my own like food and travel show. But that's, you know, those things take time to, you know, find the right production company to partner with and come up with ideas, and then, you know, put together a pitch.
It's the hardest part.
Different networks. And yeah, it's like convincing somebody to be like,
part.
All right, that's a good idea.
it's just the financial aspect of it. That's, honest to God, is the hardest part of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You just need somebody to be like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to give you guys some money to
right.
flush it out, and hopefully it works out.
I'm pitching two things right now. So I went with three,
really?
And one of them, they said absolutely not. And then, so our restaurant road trip, it was great. They were like, yeah, no. And
Can you share or no?
Yeah, of course. It's my, see, this is what I've learned. I've been doing this for a long time now, man. And doing it on your own, no one can tell you what you can and can't say. And this
That's
show,
true.
We were going to,
that's a good point.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but basically it was about eating late night. And
uh-huh.
you know, bringing influencers with you, and basically you're hanging out with like an influencer, an actor, and like a firefighter or like a New York City cop,
okay.
and you're in this sweet, like dank New York City apartment, and it's two chefs, and they're basically, the thing starts off, they go to like a club and they hang out and they find these people and they bring them back to the apartment and they make the fourth meal for these people, which is like, but it's more of a cooking
okay.
show, it's more food based, and they cook for these guys, and you
okay.
know.
This
is great.
Definitely like a late.
Yeah, like, yeah, but it would be awesome. It would be sweet and it'd be fun. You could do all this stuff. But then, the funniest thing was the person we were talking to goes, I would totally watch that. She goes, but James Franco's PR people will never let him do that because then he comes across as he's an alcoholic and wants to party all the time. And I was like,
wow.
And.
you gotta think like a PR person, you know, sometimes.
that's what it is. And she was like, listen, you should do it, who knows, moving forward and blah 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 and all these things. But you know, Road Trip, which is another the show I host currently, and it's kicking a lot
right.
of ass, which is awesome, and we're gonna do something
that's
big with
awesome.
That I think, which is cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. So it's just finding the money for it and people to back you up on it, and that's the hardest part of the whole thing. And
yeah.
everything, I mean, digital matters more now than anything. Nobody cares about television anymore.
100%.
I'm not saying that
yeah,
in a bad way,
no,
but
it's like,
true.
No, but it's true. It's Facebook, it's YouTube, it's Snapchat. It's crazy, like, the way people are consuming content. And it's, I think it's, for me, it's still a little hard to get used to, because I actually still have a cable subscription. I'm like, I'm the one.
Oh,
I'm like one of the few, because I do, I still like have shows that I watch, you know? I mean,
right.
it's actually kind of ironic, because that's one of the reasons that ESPN did all these layoffs, is because so many people are getting rid of cable and consuming
right.
their content in other ways. And so ESPN had to, they're losing money because of that. And so they had to, you know, lay a ton of people off, unfortunately. So it's funny that I still am like one of the people that's like supporting that, but yeah, no, I mean,
well,
it's still taking,
it's become a thing where it's like,
to,
you know,
yeah.
If we can't watch, you know, a 5-minute, 3-minute clip, that's also an ADD world we live in now. No one's going to watch a long television program. And
right.
It's
yeah. Like, it has to be a little bit snippets. Yeah. It's crazy.
Right. I mean, we'll do, this is the thing. Like, we'll do a restaurant road trip, you know, thing, and it'll get 50,000 views in, you know, a short amount of time. And, you know, they can't touch that, you know? And then not only that, I can tell you who's watching it, how much money they make, where they live. I can tell you everything about it.
Right.
Whereas television ratings are based on an average, you know?
Yeah, it's like, who knows who has, like, you know, those Nielsen boxes, and that's who's deciding what the rating is
right.
and what the, you know, how much money you're going to get, if they're going to bring the show back or not. I mean, it's kind of
right.
crazy that you're right. You can get so much more information, you know, by the metrics that you can get online. It's a new world that we have to kind of evolve with, but it's exciting too at the same time. I mean, it definitely opens the door for a lot more people to you know, put that content out there, whereas before it was
totally.
the only way you could do it was on TV. So it's cool. You just have to figure out how to navigate it, I guess.
Well, listen, I started checking out the Iron Chef show, Iron Chef Showdown, because, you know, you, my friend Jamie, is there, and that's why I want to check it out. And, you know, but otherwise it's just tough on the network. And I know, obviously, I'm not putting you in a bad spot, and I won't, you know, ask you to comment on it. But in a nutshell, for the most part these days, I'm tired of watching, you know, Vanilla Ice, Vern Troyer and Charo on Chopped. Like, I'm just tired of watching that. Like, bring back some food shows, man. You know, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Like the original. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I also, because I love to travel so much, like, that's a really important thing to me as well. Like, I'm just as passionate about that as I am about food. So, yeah, I would love it to be, like, you know, I mean, I know there's a ton of travel log shows out there, but that's, I mean, that's what I'm into. That's what I like to watch, too. Like, I like to see,
yeah.
like, parts of the world that I haven't been yet and be like, ah, I want to go eat that specific dish at that restaurant by this, like, little woman who like cooks in a shack or something, like, whatever, you know. I think
right,
those are
right,
like the cool
right.
stories that you can tell, because, like, honestly, that's why I got into the business in the first place, way back when. It was just like, I loved like telling stories and like these interesting things, you know, meeting interesting people. And when I switched to sports, I actually started out in news, and I realized I didn't like reporting on fires or murders or, like, you know, like the depressing things, basically.
For sure.
And I love sports too. And I was like, oh, like, that's cool. Like, I can do all the same things that I do in news, but just like, it's more upbeat all the time. You know, it's kind of like all those things, like, without all the negative stuff for the most part.
Well, first of all, number one, don't make segues on my show. I'll make the segues. That was really like, smooth. I just did that. I'm kidding. I'm just busting balls. I'm kidding. But if you want your own travel show, apparently these days, just become a real estate agent, because they all have television programs. That's all you got to do.
Right? It's so crazy.
It's
man.
Insane.
I know.
Well, how does it feel to be what you, I mean, listen, I've watched you, you know, you're on a show like Iron Chef. You know, I've judged a pretty intense culinary competition with you. You know, you come in, I mean, you're not a chef. You know, you have a different viewpoint on things, but, you know, this love of food that you have, how you spend time on your blog and even just on Instagram, where does it come from?
That's a good question. I think a small part of it started like at a very young age. You know, my parents got divorced when I was pretty young. So for the most part, my mom, you know, was like single mom, And so one of our, like, I guess, weekly chores, if you want to call it that, was we had to cook dinner for, like, the family, like, once a week. I mean, it was just the three of us. So I think it was her way to, like, teach us how to cook, like a good life skill, right? And then also kind of take one thing off her plate as well.
Right.
And so, I mean, obviously at first it was kind of, like, very basic. But then I kind of got into it, and I found this cookbook that she had, and it was a super random one. It was like a Chinese cookbook, like a Lian Chin, like Chinese cooking. And so I started making, I was just like, yeah, it's super random, right? Like, who, I don't know, like, who has that cookbook besides her and my aunt?
I didn't know she had a cookbook. I'm trying to go find this on eBay now.
She does. Yeah. I think I still have it, or I hope I still have it somewhere. But yeah, so like I just started like making random things out of this cookbook, and I was like, and then after a while I'm like, wait, this is kind of cool. Like, as long as I just follow all these directions, like, I can make anything. Like, that's pretty neat.
Right.
And I remember at one point I was like making like lemon chicken, where like you're like deep frying it and like all this stuff. And like thinking back, I'm like, that was pretty cool. So, like, awesome. You kind of started there, and then I studied abroad, you know, during college in Spain, and then traveled for 6 weeks. And, like, one of my favorite things was just, like, okay, like, we get to a new city or a new, you know, country or whatnot, and if we go to a restaurant, I would always just ask, like, okay, what should we get? Like, I would ask, like, you know, the waiter or whatever, like, what they recommend, what are they known for, and, like, just trying, like, all these weird foods that I'd never had before. And different flavors. So I think it kind of evolved there. And then I think also just living in California, especially when I moved to San Francisco, I started, like, I signed up for like a CSA box, and I would get, you know, a box of vegetables, and like, you don't get to pick what you're getting. It's just depending on what the farm sent and what's in season. And so then you're kind of like, okay, I don't know what to do with this, but I'm going to, like fava beans. I remember that. I was like, I don't know what the hell to do with these, but I'll figure it out.
Right,
like, let me Google it and just like figure out.
Serve it with a nice Chianti. Kind of like a
cool... Yeah, exactly.
Sauce of the lamb? No, that's a reference.
I picked up that reference for sure.
Nice.
Yes. So I think it was just kind of, it was like a fun game. I was like, okay, what do I make with this? Like, what does it taste like? And that kind of thing. And that's right around the time I started my blog. So, I mean, that was a really long answer again, the yarn.
No, it was good. It was good. I liked it. No, it was a good answer. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I think it started young, but it's still evolving. You know, I'm still know, trying new things and figuring out like that whole my palate, I guess.
college or something. You never had a job working in a restaurant, waiting tables, or even hostessing.
I was a bartender at Applebee's in Great Falls.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah! Riblet Wednesdays.
Yeah. You know, eating good in the neighborhood.
Okay, wait, what year? Can I ask what year?
What year was that? So it was actually right before I got my first TV job. Well, no, the summer before that I was a hostess. And then, so it was 2002. The summer of 2002 I was bartending at Applebee's. God. And actually, at the time, it was one of the highest grossing Applebee's in the country. It was very popular.
Fancy. Wow.
Yeah, there used to be like an hour wait to get into Applebee's. Back then.
Stop
it. Was
it.
Crazy. No, I'm not lying. It was like a good place to work. Like if you were in the restaurant business at that time in Great Falls, Montana, you wanted to work at Applebee's because it was busy.
Wow.
Every day.
Well, here's the thing. So okay, I figured out why we are friends. My first waiting tables job was at Applebee's.
Uh huh. Stop.
Was at Applebee's.
Get out of here! No way. That's so hilarious.
I mean, this was probably 98
oh my God,
for
I'm
me,
dying.
97, 98,
okay.
But Applebee's, waiting tables, and they moved me into the kitchen because no one could expo, so that's how it all started.
Okay, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I could ever eat there again, because, you know, like, at the time, they're like, oh yeah, you get like 80% off like food or whatever if you eat like while you're on shift. And then I ate so many like these, like we would get like these salad wraps. So we would get like the chefs in the back. We're like, can you make this into a wrap?
Well, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it.
Yeah.
You can't, don't call them a chef.
Okay. Okay. Well,
Applebee's has Chef Mike, the microwave. Chef Mike, the microwave.
Yeah, we would be like, can you make this a wrap? And they got so sick of like all the waitresses. We're like, oh, can you make this into a wrap?
Oh gosh.
But I ate so many of those, and then we used to drink behind the bar, like out of like kids' cups, like the kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then like I remember one of our managers was one time was like, I think Jamie's drunk, and like my other bartender was like, no, I don't think so. But meanwhile, we're like drinking like Cosmos, and they're like, why is all like the absolute lemon like running out so fast? We're not selling that many Cosmos. We're like, I don't know. Like,
wow. I don't know. You're drinking the high end stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That was the high end.
I'll tell you a quick horrible Applebee's story. So at the time I was working at Applebee's, it was my first apartment, like living on my own, and you know,
oh, wow.
we kind of spent all of our money on like cigarettes and malt liquor and kind of forgot to buy things like toilet paper. So Applebee's, oh, fuck yeah, dude. We thought Applebee's underpaid us. So we would fill garbage bags up with shit and then take them outside as we're taking the garbage out. We'd put them in a garbage bag, put the big garbage on top of it, take it outside, throw the bag of groceries, so to speak, over the fence where the garbage cans were, and put the other garbage away. At the end of the night, dude, I could tell you how many times I was sitting on the front porch of Richmond, Virginia, barbecuing Bourbon Street steaks and Applebee's cryopack sirloins right in front
of me. Oh, wait, so you guys were feeling ever. Like, you were feeling like,
oh, this shit got nuts.
Actual meat.
It got nuts.
I thought
I mean,
you were
going
to like toilet paper. So we're like, oh, I was feeling
that's where it started.
In the bathroom. So you're...
I mean, in about a week's time, it went from a roll of toilet paper to, I mean, it's a case of Bourbon Street steaks. They won't notice that. Fuck that. I'm taking that. Or it was like, you gave me a 30-cent raise? Hell no. That case of chicken's coming home with me. It was awful.
That was Bourbon Street steaks. I love that you remember that.
It was the worst thing ever. What a terrible person.
This is bringing back so many memories. It was so crazy.
Oh, God. And name tags. Remember we had name tags?
Oh, yeah. And we had to wear, like, these polo shirts that were, like, made for men. Like, they didn't have girl versions
the purple
of
one.
Them. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, purple. And then you had to wear khaki shorts in the summer. You'd wear shorts and then or khaki pants and then
right.
white tennis shoes. It was like the worst uniform of all time.
Oh God, I can't. We've given Applebee's way too much time.
But I can make a really good, perfect margarita. So.
And I'll bet you make a great Long Island iced tea. There's an Applebee's drink.
Yeah. Or no, the worst. We always hated when somebody would order a mudslide. That was like the worst.
Oh.
We're like, we should get like the hand blender out and like do the little like chocolate like drizzle on the. And like they were like
side of the glass.
Size or the yeah exactly and then like the people thought that they were like getting this great deal and you're like actually this is less than like a pint like they just make it look really big and
oh
charge
my
you
God.
More for it.
See, I knew we had a connection. There it is, the apple
that's
of justice.
So funny. Oh my gosh, I'm dying. That's so hilarious.
Wow, how about that? So listen, what's gonna happen with you moving forward here? Like you got the Iron Chef thing going on, working on Food Network. What's the plan? Like, you hoping to kind of get your own show? Is that the long-term plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the long-term plan. I'm going to start working on pitching some ideas with the production company, and we'll see where it goes. I would love to be, like, you know, the next, like, the female version of maybe of, like, Anthony Bourdain or something. So I think that would be really cool.
Wow.
Just, like, travel the world. And I know, right? I'm like... Gotta aim high.
I mean, you weren't like, I'm trying to get my first car to be like a little Chevette. You're like, yeah, my first car is going to be a Ferrari.
Well, back in college, people would be like, what's your dream job? I'm like, oh, I want to do Monday Night Football sidelines. Like, that's
hell
not
yeah.
What my dream job was. It was not like, oh, I'm going to work in Seattle as like a sports reporter. It was like, I'm going to like get the best sports reporter job that I can. Obviously, like, anywhere, like, in between would be good, too. Like, but I think it'd be, I mean, I do that anyways, like, travel and eat everything when I travel. So I would love to, like, get paid to do that. I think that would be pretty cool. We'll see.
I think you'd be awesome at that. I think you'd be great at that. And you guys, make sure you should follow Jamie on Instagram, at Jamie, and you spell Jamie different. Like, that messed me all up.
Yeah, I tell people that I spell it phonetically. So it's,
yeah.
I mean, my mom spelled it that way. It's not like I just made it up. It's
Oh, wait, that's not like a... Wow, that's real, huh?
No, that's not like a TV thing. No, that was like my actual... Yeah, she had a friend in college named Janie with an N. So she spelled it,
wow.
And she spelled it that way, except with an N. So yeah, so it's Jaymee, and then Sire, S like Sam, I-R-E.
Wow.
So if,
nice.
I say it on,
sure you...
if I say just S, everyone says, thinks it's F, and they think my last name is Fire, as in like on fire.
Which is a great name, as by in, the way. That would be a great
lit.
Name.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should just change my name to that.
That'd be dope, dude. Jamie Fire. I like that. That's pretty dope. Make sure you follow Jamie on Instagram, at Jamie Fire. She spelled it out for you right there. She's going to be the next Anthony Bourdain. There you go. The female Anthony Bourdain. That's the plan. That's what she's going to be. Listen, Jamie, you've been awesome to talk to. I know I've kept you a little bit longer than I said I would, but I want to ask you one more question. We were talking a little bit here in the front of the show, if I could steal 30 more seconds of your time, about
sure.
how people are... People are, Trump, we're not getting political. It's the last thing I ever want to do in my
okay.
life, ever. But, you know, it's relating to the hotel restaurant business. People are going on because Trump said something dumb. Hey, imagine that. Said something dumb. You know, calling certain countries shitholes. And so now people are going on Yelp. And I was talking about in the opening of the show how they are going on Yelp and reviewing all of his hotels and restaurants that are in the hotels and calling them shitholes. And I just think it's ignorant. I'm leading the witness, I know, but it's ignorant.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, I kind of like caught the tail end of your little rant or whatever
rant.
At the beginning. I didn't know you were, no, not rant. That wasn't a rant, but like your opinion.
Monologue.
And I just thought you were talking about just Yelp at the onset. So yeah, I think that that's unfortunate, because I don't think that that's not what the platform was intended for. I mean, you can love or hate Yelp separately. I like it because it's like, sometimes if I'm in a new area and where should I eat around here? And it's nice to have like honest, like when it's used the right way, I think it's great, because people do like put honest like experiences. Like, hopefully they're not
right.
getting paid to, you know, write those. Cause I know that there is some of that going on. So, like,
sure.
when the platform is, like, used in the way that it was intended to, I think it's a great resource. I don't think it's, like, the end-all, be-all. Like, I'm not eating here unless it's, like, at least, you know, 4 stars or whatever. But to see it, like, being abused in that way, and that's obviously not what it was intended for, whatever your political view is, I don't think that that is the right way, because it definitely, you know, hurts the wrong people.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously...
The only people
like,
you're hurting...
Hurts him, but, like, he is... He has a million businesses and things like that.
Dude,
that's not gonna.
The people that you're hurting with that are the people that run these hotels and run these restaurants. Those
totally.
People, for the most part, have probably never met that dude or even seen him.
Right. And they probably don't care one way or the other about his political views. They just needed a job. Like, and that was
right.
That was the best opportunity for them at the time. And probably at the time, it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, it pays well, it puts food on the table, buys their kids shoes, and
yeah.
instead now they're dealing with people calling them shitholes and doing terrible things, even though you have chefs and line cooks and housekeepers and people who are trying to do a good job because they work in a hotel, and just you make things like, you say things like that, and it doesn't
Yeah,
it doesn't
because obviously
hurt him
these weren't
at
like
all.
Real experiences, like they're no. like you said, that they're just like going on there to get back at him, and it's not like they actually went to that hotel or went to that restaurant and had a bad experience. They just have
right.
a bad experience with the person who happens to own them and bear its name and that whole thing. So
he's not looking at Yelp. He's not looking at Yelp going, oh
no.
shit, they're saying bad things about my hotel. Trust me.
Well,
he
maybe
care.
He is, but no, but
I doubt it, man.
I think it just reinforces like this sad state that things are at in our country right now, like without totally getting political. I just think it's just sad, like to see just how everybody's like at at odds with each other, and that's unfortunate that it's come to things like that. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
I think we have bigger problems to deal with than things like that. So.
You are speaking the truth. I couldn't agree with you more. The blog, your blog, E is for Eat, right?
EisForEat.com. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't.
EisForEat.com.
As much love as I used to when it first started, but yeah, I picked this like arbitrary theme of like going through the alphabet, which seemed like a really cool idea at the time. Now I've gone through the alphabet like 6 times, so it's not as cool anymore, but it's still fun because I'm like, okay, like get to these weird letters. I'm like, what am I doing for this? And it kind of results in me like teaching myself how to make like really random that I would never make otherwise. So it's kind of fun.
Nice. So, well, make sure you check that out. And of course, follow Jamie on Instagram. At Jamie Sire, just like spelled just like it sounds. That's how you do it right there. And Jamie,
yeah.
Listen, if anything I can ever do to help you as far as these shows, you know how to find me. I'm more than happy to do it.
I super appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me.
Dude, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate a few minutes of your time. And
yeah,
you're awesome.
Applebee's,
I do. I wish something
life.
The best for you.
Applebee's. Yeah.
Damn right. We started a club. We started a gang.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. I still can't get it.
Look, last story. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from a line cook at Applebee's. His name was Doc, Jamie, and he had 3 gold teeth right in the front, right in the front. And he said to me, he looks at me and he goes, Plum? And I said, yeah, what's up, Doc? And he goes, Plum, they can't all be good. And it's the greatest piece of advice I ever got in my life.
Words to live by. I think we should end on that. That's awesome.
Fucking genius. There you go. Jamie, you're awesome. Have a great rest of your night. I appreciate you and thank you. And kicking ass on Iron Chef. You're the best. And hope to talk to you soon.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. There she goes, guys. Jamie Sire from Iron Chef America. Iron Chef Showdown coming on here talking. Can't believe we have the Applebee's connection. How fun is that? I love Applebee's. Well, I did back then, but apparently... Yeah, I think it's funny, as line cooks, as chefs, as people in the hospitality business, if you look back at how many of us have actually worked in the restaurant business, it's mind-numbing. I think we all have been in Applebee's. I think we've all been an Applebee's employee at some point. Anyway, you guys, appreciate you checking out the show. Please, if you have 2 seconds, go on to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to the program. It does giant things for us. You heard me. That's right. Give us a rating. Go on there. It takes 3 seconds. Hit the 5 stars. Give it to us. Does great things for the algorithm here on the show. And I appreciate you guys checking us out this evening. Listen, this week coming up, I'm trying to decide if we're going to do a Monday show because Friday is going to be the Chef-tacular happening live at the Mohegan Sun Wine and Food Fest. All kinds of great chefs. I'm working on who we're going to get. I think Chef Brian Duffy's going to come by and hang out with us. I'm working on Chef Todd English, as well as Rocco Despirito, a couple other ones. Alex Garner-Shelley was mentioned. If she's there Friday night, I'm going to try to get her to come hang for 5 minutes. Great people there. Hopefully, get them to come hang out with us for 5 minutes and just chat on the mic and talk food. As far as the Monday show goes, I might do a roundtable, maybe a recap show for 2017, something along those. We'll get a couple of chefs to come on. So maybe, I guess what I'm saying is that next week, there's going to be two shows next week. That's right. So next week, just to follow up, we're going to have a Monday show. The regular Monday night show will be a roundtable show. We'll get a couple of chefs on here and talk. And then we will be broadcasting Friday live, 8 p.m. I know it's a tough time to listen live. I know. But the good part is that if it goes to iTunes, you can listen the next day when you're getting up or on your way home from work. Make sure you check that out next week, live from the Mohegan Sun Wine and Food Fest. Chefs all day long. The Plum Love Foods, Chef-tacular. Big shout out to my good friend Jamie Sire for coming on here and talking and hanging with us. She's fantastic. She's part of the Applebee's crew. Woo woo. And loved having her on. Make sure you give her a follow at Jamie Sire on Instagram. And of course, check out her blog. E is for Eat. It's quite witty. E is for Eat. I like that. It's definitely worth checking out. And she's awesome. Follow her on Instagram. Give her a support people like her. She's great. She does a great job on Iron Chef Showdown. In the meantime, and in between time, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Check out my friends at Ergo Chef Knives. I'm Chef Plum. I'll see you next week. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.